What chapter?
Chapter 5, 1 Peter chapter 5. Comfort sometimes leads to sin. This is important because we really like to be comfortable. We spend lots of money to be comfortable. And it's not wrong to be comfortable. But sometimes it can lead to sin. Human nature seeks the path of least resistance. Work smarter, not harder. Right? And that's okay. Sometimes. A guy told me one day when I was a young fella, teenager, he taught me something that has helped me for my entire life. I was 104 pounds, 14 years old, weak, I felt. And he was a strong guy. He had lots of muscle. So I figured he probably knows something that I need. So I went to him and I asked him, I said, tell me something. I need some help. I need to get stronger and gain some muscle. He said, I expected him to tell me to go find some weights and a bench and start pumping iron and all that. And he said, when you work, work as hard as you can, as fast as you can, and don't always do it the easy way. And I thought to myself, well, that was the dumbest thing I've ever heard. I was a student at Camp Tracy. He was a staff member, and I thought he was just trying to get more work out of me. But I thought on it for a couple of days, and I said to myself, self, what have you got to lose? If nothing else, you'll at least be in good with the staff. So I started doing that. I started working as hard as I can, fast as I could. And I found the hard way to do it instead of the easy way on purpose. Well, it did help. No, I did not become a bodybuilder. In fact, I did not gain a whole lot of bulk from it, but I did get stronger. And that solved my problem, I thought. But ever since then, I've learned that there is opportunity for exercise, no matter who you are, where you are, what you do for a living. Just don't always do it the easy way. Do it the hard way, on purpose. Park at the wrong end of the parking lot. Grab a cart and carry it up to the store. There's all kinds of different things that you can do the hard way, on purpose, just for a little bit of exercise. And that's helped me a whole lot. But there's times when we, most of the time, in fact, where we always look for the easy way to do things. And again, that's not unwise. It's just our nature. I want to give you an illustration on how we do this. So, Brother Brian, would you come up here to the stage, please? So what I want you to notice, you can stop right there. What I want you to notice is he didn't come right through here. That was the shortest route, right?
Right.
But it wasn't the easiest route. You can go sit back down. Thank you. That was perfect. You did a good job. Yes. The easy route and the fastest route wasn't the same. The hard route would have been to come straight for the podium. He would have to climb over people and pews to get here. Sometimes when we're walking through a parking lot, we'll follow the contour of the parking lot, even though it's a farther distance, just so that we don't have to step up on a curb this high. We do things the easy way, on purpose, and that's okay most of the time. When you're walking through the woods, the tall grass, or any type of rough terrain, with other people, you find yourself falling in line behind them. Why? Because one, they broke the spider webs.
Yeah.
Brother John is excited about that one right there.
Yes.
Number two, they've already knocked the briars down a little bit and the weeds, and they've created an easier path to follow. Right?
Right.
If you go through a cow pasture, you'll find these trails. All through the cow pasture where the cows will walk in a line behind each other. Why? It's our nature to follow the path of least resistance. But let's look how this can affect us spiritually. In 1 Peter 5:8, the Bible says this. For if these things, I'm sorry, 2 Peter. Am I in? Yeah, I'm correct. 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Let's pray. Father, I do thank you for this passage that you've brought us to tonight, and I pray that you would open our eyes and our hearts to understand what you want us to see. Lord, I pray that you would help me to relay your message accurately. Lord, I need your help. I can't do it without you. And I do thank you for it. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Peter tells us here to be sober and then to be vigilant. We don't use the word vigilant very often. And about the only time we use the word sober is when we're talking about someone who is inebriated. But then he tells us why we should be sober and vigilant. Sober means temperate, which is self-control. But it also means devoid of frivolity. If you don't know what frivolity is, I didn't either, so I had to look that one up. But it means unworthy of serious attention. Devoid of frivolity, excess, or exaggeration. It also means serious, solemn, marked by circumspection, or self-restraint. All of these words or terms are pointing as self-control, temperance. That's what sober means. Peter tells us here to be sober. By the way, using self-control is not easy. Sometimes showing self-control takes us out of the comfortable and sets us in the uncomfortable. But he also tells us to be vigilant, on the alert, watchful. For what? For the attack. That's what he's talking about if you read the rest of the verse. Because the devil, as a roaring lion, is walking about seeking whom he may devour. And he don't ever go to sleep.
Right.
We do. He's had 8 good hours to work on a plan to cause you and I to fail. Every time we go to sleep. Then when we get up in the morning, we ain't even thinking about the battle. But it's coming. Because he's constantly working to cause us to fail. He's constantly working to destroy us. So why do we have to be so careful? Because Satan knows all about this thing of comfort. Human nature, taking the easy path. He knows all about that. He conjures up plans and tactics to lure us into sin, using our own human nature to do it. Turn to Proverbs chapter 24, if you would. Proverbs chapter 24. Solomon talks a lot about this too. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 30. The Bible says, this is Solomon talking, I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. What did he learn? He learned that yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. This guy who Solomon was inspecting or looking at or observing his house and his yard, this guy had taken the path of least resistance. The easy path. And because of it, his house was coming apart. His yard was overgrown. He probably had little trees growing up through his broken down chariot. You've seen yards like that before. Brother Chris, have you ever had to mow a yard like that?
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes you don't mow them, you cut them down with a chainsaw. Really, we've had to do that several times. Little trees just grow up all over the place, by the edges of the house, along the fence line, all throughout the backyard. What happened? Was it a catastrophe that came? Did he get hurt, get laid up in the hospital for months and months? Solomon says, no, that's not what happened at all. He said in verse 33, it was just a little bit of sleep. A little bit too much. A little bit of slumber. Slumber is taking it easy. Just laying back. Relaxing. He said it was just a little bit too much slumber. In other words, he didn't know where to draw the line. In other words, comfort in this guy's life led to sin. And then it's costing him dearly. It was easy to look at the grass that needed mowing and just say, I'll get to it tomorrow. I don't feel like it right now. The problem was that tomorrow never came. Turn to Leviticus chapter 19, if you would. Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus 19 and verse 2. God tells us something here, which Jesus actually repeated himself. Leviticus 19, the Bible says, speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, ye shall be holy. For I, the Lord God, Lord your God, am holy. Many times, holiness and human nature are at odds. It's a command to be holy, yet we find ourselves leaning to human nature more often than we do being holy. It takes work. It takes effort to be holy. And because of that, many times, because we want to be lazy and take the comfortable route, we wind up being unholy. If we're not sober and vigilant, then who wins the battle against the devil? He does. Because he's thinking about it a lot. He does research. He studies. He watches what we like and what we don't like, so that he can set up a really good plan to cause us to fall into temptation, to yield to it, to sin, and to continue in that sin. So part of being sober is using self-control. But against what? In my opinion, against anything. Self-control is kind of like a muscle. When you work out your muscle, it gets stronger. Now, if I work out my bicep, which is quite small, I might say, but if I work out my bicep, and let's say that today I can curl 30 pounds, but I go to work working out that bicep to the point that one day I'm able to curl 45 pounds with that one arm, then this arm, well, both arms, I'm sure I'll do both at the same time, my arms are going to be able to curl 45 pounds easily. This barbell or dumbbell that I've got to curl, I can pick it up with no problem. But you know what? I can do everything else that I'm doing easier. I can pick up a bucket of dirt easier. I can pick up a gallon of milk easier. I can pick up a chainsaw easier. Why? Because I've worked out that muscle. Now it's stronger. Self-control is the same. When you say no to a cookie, then you can probably say no to a slice of pie. If you can say no to anything at all. And I'm not, by the way, you can use self-control against something that isn't bad. We ought to use it every time against something that is bad. But we can use self-control against something that isn't bad. I remember when I was a kid, you may have done this. You're walking down a sidewalk, and you're trying not to step on the line. What's the rhyme? Anybody have an idea? You step on a crack and you break your mother's back or your grandmother's back, whatever. So you avoid stepping on the crack of the sidewalk. Well, believe it or not, that does require just a little bit of self-control, because you have to take a longer stride or a shorter one to miss it. Right? So what do we use self-control against? Anything. Especially the things that we seem to be indulgent in. Remember, the devil is constantly seeking ways to get you and I on the wrong path. And he's not trying to get us on the wrong path on a big jerk of the steering wheel. He wants to do it on a slight, very slight turn of the steering wheel, so that we don't really even notice that we've made a turn. He does it really slowly. Do you think the devil could use television to do this?
Yeah, absolutely.
To get us on a wrong path?
Yeah.
I think so. What about a hobby?
Yeah.
Do you think the devil could use your hobby to derail you from doing what God wants you to do? What about your phone? That might be one of his favorite tools nowadays. Against all people, not just young people. All people. What about food? You think he could cause us to get in trouble with our maker with food? Sleep? Think he could use sleep? I think he can use anything that we find comfort in to draw us away from doing those things that are difficult. Things such as praying. There's times that you just don't feel like praying. And many times, it's not your fault. It's the powers of darkness working against us to pray. There's times when it's not fun to sit down for 20 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour, and read your Bible. It's not near as interesting as scrolling on Facebook. Sometimes comfort leads us to sin. We talked about this morning. In Proverbs chapter 16, the Bible says, "There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Many times, we don't recognize it when we've been derailed. When we're off the correct path that God wants us on. We don't realize it. We don't know it when we're deceived. To be holy, we must compare our actions and motives with God's Word, not with other people. We can always find someone that's doing worse than we are to compare with so that we feel good about ourselves. Well, that's just never good. What we must do is compare what we're doing and our motives of why we're doing it with God's Word. It's our nature to cover up sin. Many times we know we're doing something we shouldn't, and we deny it and don't talk about it, hide it, maybe even get defensive when somebody mentions it. All so that we can remain comfortable doing what we want to do instead of what God wants us to do. Our nature, the easy path, is to hate our enemies. But Jesus said to love them. He said to pray for them, do good for them, or bless them. It's our nature to toot our own horn. The other day we were sitting in front of some children, and one of them had helped to cook a big meal. And I think she was only 11 years old, maybe 10 or 11. And it was an excellent meal. I'm talking about fish, fried fish, hush puppies, cheese grits. And she did a lot of it on her own. And we were praising her, talking about how good a job that she did. Then this other child spoke up and told us a story about when he had done some cooking and how good a job he did. Surprisingly, he didn't get quite the result that the other one got. Why? Because the other one didn't bring it up. The other one wasn't tooting their horn. This one was. And it was awkward. Nobody wanted to hear that. By the way, it's the same way with you and I. When we start tooting our horn, nobody wants to hear that. Solomon said this in Proverbs 27:2. He said, "Let another man praise thee and not thine own lips." Jesus said in Matthew, not to do our alms to be seen of men. It's not, he said, if you're trying to do that for recognition, he said, then you might get it. But that's all you're going to get. You're not going to get any praise from me. I'm not going to bless you for it. It's our nature to be selfish. But in Philippians chapter 2, the Bible teaches us to be more concerned about other people's needs than our own. Put their desires, their need, their recognition, their praise above ours. That's what he said. That's a little bit uncomfortable. We would rather get the praise. We would rather get what we want. But that's not what we're taught in Scripture. Sometimes comfort does lead to sin. Taking the easy path. But being holy requires us to be sober and vigilant in our Christian walk. It is a constant thing that we have to work on, because Satan is constantly working to pull us away from where God wants us. You know, sometimes God wants us to struggle. If you read through the Bible, you're going to find that we struggle. Paul even said, it is a must. You're going to struggle. You're going to be persecuted. You're going to suffer persecution as a Christian. Well, that's not comfortable. It's not easy. We avoid that. But in order to be holy and to be what God expects us to be, sometimes it's going to require coming out of our comfort zone and doing what God said, even though it's more difficult. It's not easy to walk up to a stranger and talk to them about their lost state, their salvation. That's not easy. It's uncomfortable. You never know what kind of reaction you're going to get. Sometimes there's things in your own home that you've got to deal with and address. It's not easy. But it's got to be done. If we don't, we're doing it because we're wanting to be comfortable. We're wanting to take the easy path and not confront the issue. But it's got to be confronted. So in order to be right with God, sometimes we have to take the hard path, not the easy path. Are y'all with me?
Yeah.
Well, let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for showing us tonight that sometimes comfort does lead to sin, and that sometimes we need to purposely take the hard path so that we stay on the path that you want us on. Lord, please help us to deliberately and diligently walk on the path that you have for us. Lord, help us to be sober and vigilant. Lord, I pray that your powerful hand of healing will be on Brother Tommy. I pray that you'd give him and Miss Brenda peace and comfort. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, and you are dismissed.